A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and good Monday morning. A new week on the horizon with it appears as though there is some snow that is heading towards the northern parts of the states. We've got some family up in Virginia right now that maybe there's some up there that are enjoying it and maybe some that are not. I'm sure the kids are probably enjoying a snow day. Maybe we can have some sent down here towards the south later on. But yeah, so I hope that each and every one of you had a great weekend. It, you know, kind of always goes by quickly. I know Saturday I had spent some time out working in the yard, and one of the tasks included getting the leaves blown out of the gutters. And, you know, that's always interesting in of itself because of, you know, you're literally thinking about, well, what if I slip and fall or something to that nature? But nothing occurred as to that. So we're grateful for no accidents on the job. Everything was OSHA approved. But got to get some things tidied up before the rain came, and got the leaves up and all that. You know, that's always the deal around this time of year. It's kind of like you try to wait till all the leaves are off the tree, but that never seems to be the case because there's so many leaves to be raked up and gathered to their proper location. But anyway, yeah, just had a real good time with the family. Watched some football games. Got some food. Had some good leftovers. You know, I don't know if you guys like leftovers, but that's what we actually had some leftovers yesterday for lunch after church, and that was pretty decent actually. Owen Lake is. Got his basketball season. He had basketball practice Saturday, so we're trying to encourage him. For some reason, he's facing a lot of intimidation internally that I think he's just overthinking it with some of the boys that he's playing basketball with, you know. So trying to navigate through that process and reassure him that, you know, just go out there and give it your best and have fun. But there was one thing that kind of, as I was actually working through that process and having a conversation with him about that, I felt as though it kind of compounded even to a certain point yesterday as we had our Sunday school lesson and I was teaching the lesson at church. And one of the thoughts that crossed my mind was, is I feel a lot of times we have moments where there's things that, again, build up within us and we worry about. And I feel that we can get easily, you know, discombobulated, if you will, to where it's overwhelming. And I'm speaking in reference to anxiety. Many of us probably do get anxious about things. I never really did battle with that myself, but I know that there are people that, you know, have anxiety issues, things that they kind of get concerned about that they're dealing with. And I just really wanted to share a passage that was referenced yesterday. And it comes out of the book of Matthew chapter 6, and the title heading, I usually read out of the New American Standard Version. I have some friends that pick on me about that, but that's okay. And the title in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 above it is, it basically says the cure for anxiety is what it's labeled. So listen to these words from scripture. It says this in verse 25, "For this reason, I say to you, Do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. You know, I said this yesterday as well, as I was getting ready for church and I looked out the window, there was this red cardinal just perched up on top of one of our buildings outside, which I like the color red anyway, and just the beauty and the design of that bird that God created. And I said, it looked to me as though he was, or she was, doing just fine. So verse 26, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So last night at bedtime, this concluded the Christmas break that the kids had off from school. And of course, that was kind of weary for them. They were upset and just thinking about what Monday brought, you know. Anna Grace was concerned about going back to school, and she was talking about how her focus is that she's not going to do well. She's not going to have, you know, or not have, but she's concerned about her grades and tests and stuff like that, which it's a whole nother conversation that she's dealing with in herself, and somewhat a little bit of frustration on some of the things that have been done in regards to the way the teaching environment, which again, that's my opinion. But I feel as though that sometimes with education, there's a streamline or a cookie cut way of how things are taught, and that's not really necessary for the child's benefit, which we could talk later about that. It could be a side conversation, you know. Everyone learns differently. I'll say it like that, you know. Not excusing a child's, you know, mess ups or lack of effort, but I'm just stating that everyone does learn differently. And so she's at a place where she's, you know, she's in fifth grade, and there's some things she's kind of processing in her own way. And I just reassured her, you know, her statement was, Dad, I just don't want to fail fifth grade. And I said, well, babe, you're not going to fail. You know, you have an opportunity to have a lot of support here. A lot of people can help you. Mom's here. You know, my wife is lots of years in the education system. And so we both, you know, try to encourage her. But ultimately, what I guess wanted to get her to see was is that those worries and concerns that basically are taking so much place or attention in her focal point right then was like, you know, you can't control tomorrow. You know, you can't. You're right now, you need to, you know, be concerned about going to sleep, right? And having sweet dreams, as she said when she was little. But, you know, that's the place that we even find ourselves as adults. We can get so, you know, overwhelmed by the things that we think about, that we dwell upon, and it sways like a wave, if you will, swirls like a churning within, and we get worried, we get anxious, it bothers us, it can bring all kinds of emotions. I mean, she was somewhat a little bit, you know, upset last night about it. She'll kill me later if she hears that I'm talking about her so much. But Auntie Grace, remember you said you'll come visit me in the nursing home and feed me applesauce. But anyway, I just think that I feel the passage in Matthew 6, it really emphasizes again the importance of us to find this prescription, this layout for us to hold on to in seeking after the kingdom of God and seeking after his things. And I think that when those efforts are true and sincere from the heart, I think that we see the importance of how God manifests his provision for our lives. I think that we see him again for the good heavenly Father that he is, not so much in the way as what's been described in the past of, you know, he doesn't operate in a manner to where to make sure that we're always happy and we always get everything that we want. We'd be spoiled just like a kid. But, you know, we know that our needs are met in a lot of different ways. And I think that that's something that we've tried to convey to our children is that, you know, God does meet our needs. Now, sure, all of us probably do have wants, you know, but do we need those things? Oftentimes I hear people say, you know, somebody just won the lottery of, what was that, $1 billion? What would you do with that money? What would you do with all this? So what would you do with that? But the necessity of where we find ourselves, or not necessity, but the place where we find ourselves is, you know, God meets every need that we have. And ultimately, the greatest need that we have is heart change, heart transformation. Because what really matters in this life is whether or not that we have relationship with Christ, and that through his sacrifice and knowing him, that our eternal destination is going to be with God forevermore. So that heart change, that transformation, puts within us a sense to understand that even though the things that we are facing to a certain point are very temporal, and I think we have to be reminded of that truth, the temporalness of it, and we have the here and now, we have today, we have the opportunity that's before us, we don't know what tomorrow brings, we can look at the forecast, we can do all these other things that are available with technology, maybe do the whatever it is that's before us. I mean, but simply put, you know, why even go down that path? Why even try to get to a place of insanity, basically? So as I, you know, took my little girl in last night, I reminded her of those truths that, you know, you can control to a certain point, you know, you can control to a certain point the here and now. Don't worry about tomorrow. And I think it's true in what God's word says. Verse 26, as I referenced the cardinal, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? You know, there's no greater truth when you look at the story of creation in Genesis. No other animal, no other creature has the image of God. When God said, let us make man in our image, that human beings are the only ones that have some attributes of that. No other animal. But yet, even in that manner, God still cares for the creatures of this earth. And I know that could be argued in a lot of different ways. You know, we have the people that do mean things to animals. But in reference to what God is saying in his word, and what he's basically implying is, if God is so meticulous in how he has created and cared for these creatures, how much more will he care for you? So brothers and sisters, I encourage you as you embark on this new week on Monday, as a friend of mine says that Monday is a new opportunity, which it is. And as you embark on this new week, on this new time for your life, I pray that you would focus on today. I pray that you would not be consumed with the concerns of tomorrow, and that you would seek first the kingdom of God, and that all these things will be added unto you. A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and I look forward to speaking with you again soon.